You know, there's something deceptively simple about a lawnmower.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you walk into a hardware store, right?
Yeah.
And you look at this row of shiny red, maybe orange machines, and what do you actually see?
You see a box on wheels.
A handle,
The box on the.
a metal hood, four wheels, a handle. If you're lucky, maybe a cup holder. It just feels so, I don't know, basic, rudimentary machinery. You push it, a blade spins, the grass gets shorter. End of story.
Okay, that's what it looks like on the surface for sure.
Yeah.
But if you were to, say, shrink yourself down Ant-Man style and stand underneath that hood while it's running,
Okay.
you would not see a simple machine. You would be standing in the middle of a violent, aerodynamic
A
battlefield.
battlefield. That's a dramatic way to start a
It's an
Tuesday.
absolute battlefield. You've got physics, fluid dynamics, centrifugal force, material science, all fighting each other at 3,000 RPMs. You're trying to control chaos. You have a steel blade, and the tip is moving at nearly 200 miles per hour, trying to slash through organic matter that's wet, it's clumping, it's resistant. And if you get the geometry of that deck wrong by just a fraction of an inch,
The whole system
the whole
fails.
system fails.
The grass doesn't get cut, the machine shakes, and your neighbor starts wondering why your lawn looks like it's had a bad haircut.
Precisely. And that is exactly where we're going today.
Welcome to the deep dive. I am incredibly excited for this one because we're doing something a little different.
Yeah.
Usually we're looking at, third-party articles or these broad industry trends. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on our own work right here at V Technologies.
I love when we get to do this. We're opening the files on a specific case study that really highlights what our engineering teams do when the rubber, or in this case, the blade, meets the road.
That's right. We are looking at a partnership between V Technologies and a client that's described in our records only as a leading manufacturer of residential and commercial lawnmowers. And reading through this documentation, this isn't some startup. The notes say they have a historical record. These are the big leagues of lawn care. This is a legacy brand.
Exactly. And the mission here wasn't just to make a mower that looks cool or has a new paint job. It was to solve a fundamental physics problem that was threatening the performance of their premium product line.
So if you're listening and you're thinking, why do I care about mower decks? Stick with us because this isn't really about cutting grass. This is a master class in product engineering. It's about how you take a design that has plateaued, that's kind of mechanically stuck, and you completely revolutionize it using high-level analysis.
It's the transition from good enough to precision engineering. It's about recognizing when a standard industry practice has actually become a liability.
Okay, so let's set the stage. Before we get into the nuts and bolts, or I guess blades and decks, we need to understand who is actually doing the work. We said V Technologies, but that's a big name, a lot of departments. Who from our side was brought to the table for this?
That's a great point. It's important to contextualize the toolbox we brought to this project. Looking at the source material, this wasn't just, a couple of draftsmen sketching on a napkin.
Right.
This involved our full product and process engineering and manufacturing wing.
Which is a mouthful, but breaking it down, it's comprehensive. We're talking product design and analysis, research and development, and even mechanical testing and prototyping.
And sustaining engineering. That last one is so key. It's a holistic approach.
How so?
Well, when a client like this comes to us, they aren't just looking for someone to draw a part in CAD. They're looking for a team that understands the entire life cycle of the product. From that initial what if in R&D, all the way to the manufacturing engineering required to actually build it on an assembly line
Without going bankrupt.
without going bankrupt. That's a crucial distinction. You can design the most beautiful aerodynamic shape in the world, but if the factory can't stamp it out of steel efficiently, it's just a pretty picture.
Engineering is the art of compromise between physics and economics.
Precisely. And in this case study, that balance had been lost.
So let's talk about the client for a second. We can't name them, obviously, confidentiality, but the profile gives us some clues about the stakes. They're known for both residential and commercial mowers, and they also make snow blowers.
Which tells you something. It implies they deal with seasonal extremes and really heavy-duty machinery.
Sure.
If you're building snow blowers, you understand torque, you understand cold weather material fatigue, moving heavy, wet material. These people know machines.
And the key phrase in the case study is that they have a historical record of premium lawn care solutions. Premium is the word.
It's the operative word. If you're buying a budget mower from a big box store, you might forgive a few clumps of grass or a little rattle.
Yeah, you expect it.
But if you're buying from a renowned manufacturer, you expect perfection. You expect the machine to feel like an extension of yourself. And in a competitive market, you can't just coast on your history if your engineering falls behind.
Your market leadership evaporates. And it sounds like this client was facing a situation where their traditional designs just weren't cutting it anymore.
Pun definitely intended.
Okay, let's introduce the villain of this story. Why was this premium manufacturer struggling? The source material identifies the core problem as the flat deck design.
The conventional flat deck.
Yeah.
It was the industry standard for a long, long time. And it's exactly what it sounds like. The top of the mower deck is a flat sheet of stamped metal. It's a box.
A box. I feel like we've all experienced the symptoms of a flat deck without even realizing it.
Oh, for sure.
You're mowing, maybe the grass is a little damp, and suddenly the engine just bogs down. You hear that struggling sound. Mm-hmm. Or you have to stop and reach underneath, safely, of course, to pull out this massive green clot of wet grass.
That is challenge number one listed in the case study. Grass dispersion and airflow.
So mechanically, what's happening there? Why does a flat deck fail at moving the grass?
It all comes down to airflow management. Think of the blade as a fan. It's trying to generate wind.
Okay.
But in a flat deck, there's no defined channel for that air to move. It's just a box.
Mm.
So the air skins wildly, it creates all this turbulence, and it crashes into the flat ceiling.
It's like a traffic jam.
A traffic jam where the cars are made of wet grass.
Yeah.
Exactly. If the air can't move efficiently toward the chute, the grass clippings just drop out of the airstream.
So they just bounce around inside?
They bounce around randomly. It leads to clogging, and it results in an uneven cut because the grass isn't being stood up properly before the blade actually hits it.
Right, so that's the performance issue. But the case study mentions two other massive problems, and I think they're fascinating because they get overlooked. The second one is noise and vibration.
This is huge. A flat deck, by its nature, is effectively a drum head. It's a large flat sheet of steel. When you have a blade spinning under it at high speed, causing all that turbulence,
that flat sheet wants to vibrate. It resonates.
It resonates. And vibration isn't just annoying for the neighbors.
No, and it's not just annoying for your hands either. The source explicitly says it affects user comfort and machine longevity.
Which means if a machine is vibrating excessively, it is literally shaking itself apart.
Wow.
Bolts loosen, welds fatigue, and they crack. Bearings wear out faster. And yeah, the user's hands go numb after 20 minutes. That is an engineering failure.
It's interesting. We think of vibration as just a symptom, but you're saying it's actually a destructive force.
It is parasitic energy.
Mm-hmm.
Energy that should be cutting grass is instead shaking the handle.
Yeah.
It's just inefficient.
And the third villain.
Manufacturing complexity. This one hits the bottom line. The old design led to inconsistent tolerances and inefficient assembly.
That sounds expensive.
It is.
Yeah.
When you stamp a large flat piece of metal, it can have spring back. It doesn't always hold its shape perfectly.
Mm.
If your design is hard to assemble or the parts don't fit together with perfect consistency, what we call tolerances.
You waste time on the assembly line.
You waste time. You have workers fighting to align bolt holes. And you end up with a product that varies in quality from one machine to the next.
The source uses really strong language here. It says the client had a dire need, that's the quote, dire need, for a more advanced design.
Dire need. I love that. It wasn't we'd like a cosmetic upgrade. It was we need this to survive.
More paradigm shift.
Exactly. They realized the physics of the flat deck had reached their absolute limit. They couldn't optimize it any further.
So V Technology steps in. The goal, move from the flat deck to the tunnel deck.
The tunnel deck. It sounds futuristic, doesn't it?
It does. Walk us through how our team actually tackled this. The source breaks it down into four distinct stages. And stage one seems, well, almost too simple. Analyze existing deck.
It sounds simple, but it is the most critical step. You cannot improve what you don't deeply understand.
Right.
Our team didn't just look at old drawings. They went in and measured the physical reality. Dimensions for width, blade placement, height. They identified exactly where the mounting points were, the structural supports, the location of the discharge chute.
Basically mapping the DNA of the existing machine?
Precisely. They had to understand all the constraints because, and this is the tricky part, they weren't designing a whole new tractor. They were designing a new deck that had to fit on the existing tractor.
Which leads perfectly into stage two, develop concept CAD. This is where the creative engineering happens.
Mm-hmm.
The goal, it says, was to achieve a curved or channeled underside.
Right. This is where we stop treating the deck as just a cover and start treating it as an aerodynamic device. They used computer-aided design to sculpt a shape, a conel, that would specifically guide the clippings toward the discharge chute.
So you're basically building a highway for the air.
A highway for the air. Instead of that flat ceiling where air just crashes, you are telling the air exactly where to go. You're controlling the flow.
And then comes stage three, which I imagine is the headache phase, compatibility check.
The puzzle phase, yeah. You have this beautiful new tunnel design. It's curvy, it's aerodynamic, but now you have to bolt it onto a frame that was designed for a flat box.
Like trying to fit a round peg in a square hole, but the peg is made of steel and it spins at 3,000 RPM.
And safety is paramount. You can't just ask the client to redesign the entire tractor for the deck that would cost millions in tooling. It has to retrofit. So our team had to ensure perfect compatibility between the new deck and all the old components. Pulleys, belts, lift arms. It has to look like it was always meant to be there.
And finally, stage four.
3D models and manufacturing drawings. This is the handoff. It's one thing to have a pretty 3D model on a screen. It's another thing to have parametric models and actual blueprints manufacturing drawings that a factory can use to cut and bend steel.
You know, reading through this, it reminds me that V Technologies isn't just about the mechanical side. The source mentions we also specialize in things like animation services, 3D, simulation, and even AI and data analytics.
That's a really important point. Even though this case study is about metal and motors, the fact that our team has access to those high-tech ecosystems, simulation, data analysis, it means the mechanical engineers are working in a very sophisticated environment. They aren't guessing about the airflow.
They can simulate it.
They can simulate it. It elevates the quality of the work.
So we've built this tunnel deck. We've done the CAD, checked the fit. But the big question is, does it actually work? What is the aha moment here? Why is a tunnel better than a flat surface?
It all comes down to something the case study calls the vacuum effect.
The vacuum effect. Okay, this sounds like the secret sauce.
It is the secret sauce. Think about how an airplane wing works. By changing the shape of the surface, you change the air pressure.
Right.
When you create that tunnel shape over the blade, the spinning blade acts like a fan in a tube. Because the deck is channeled, it accelerates the air.
And basic physics tells us that faster air means lower pressure.
Bernoulli's principle. Exactly. Yep. This creates a pressure differential, a vacuum under the deck. This vacuum literally lifts the grass blades upright just before the blade swings through.
Wait, hold on. So it's pulling the grass to attention.
That is the best way to visualize it. Yes. Think about when you walk through tall grass. It's often matted down or leaning over.
Sure.
A flat deck just runs over it, pushes it down further with the deck lip, and then just hacks at it. The tunnel deck sucks the grass up straight, holds it there, and then cuts it.
That explains the cleaner, more even cut mentioned in the benefits, specifically in thick or damp grass. It's not just cutting, it's prepping the grass to be cut.
Correct. It's an active process. And once that grass is cut, the tunnel keeps working. The second benefit is better grass discharge.
Yeah.
Because you have that aerodynamic highway we talked about.
The clippings are shot out of the chute with much higher velocity.
Significantly higher, which solves the clogging issue.
Completely.
In a flat deck, the grass lazily drifts around and sticks to the walls. In a tunnel deck, it's being fired out of a cannon. This improves mulching and bagging performance dramatically.
Right, because you need that velocity to throw the heavy, wet grass all the way to the right. Back of the bagger.
Exactly. Or if you're mulching, you want it to circulate and get chopped up fine. The tunnel facilitates both.
There's another benefit listed here that I hadn't thought about. Enhanced cut quality on uneven terrain.
This ties back to rigidity and airflow. A tunnel shape is inherently stiffer than a flat sheet.
Oh, right. Like if you take a piece of paper, if it's flat, it's floppy. But if you curl it into a tube,
it becomes rigid. Geometry adds strength. So the deck itself is more rigid. It doesn't flex as the mower goes over bumps, which means the blade stays level.
And the vacuum effect helps even on a slope.
It's just a more stable system all around.
And finally, the maintenance angle. Reduced clumping and buildup.
This is the user's favorite part. Because the air is moving so fast and so smoothly, what we call laminar flow, the wet grass doesn't have a chance to stick to the underside of the deck.
A design that cleans itself.
It's the holy grail of engineering. Less time scraping green muck off the bottom of your mower means more time enjoying your lawn. It also prevents rust because that wet grass isn't sitting there rotting against the steel.
So let's recap the scorecard here. Happier user, no clogging, better looking lawn, cleaner cut, a machine that doesn't vibrate itself to pieces.
And don't forget the manufacturing side. The tunnel design is more rigid, so it holds its shape better than a wobbly flat sheet.
Yeah.
You're reducing the scrap rate in the factory, too.
It sounds like a win across the board,
yeah.
But let's look at the verdict. We can talk physics all day, but what did the client actually say?
We have a direct testimonial from the CEO of the organization.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, CEOs of major manufacturing companies don't usually give quotes for case studies unless they are genuinely impressed.
They usually delegate that.
They do. So let's read a bit of it. They said, "We are thrilled to share our experience working with V Technologies. Their team provided exceptional support, demonstrating unparalleled expertise in engineering design and product development."
Unparalleled expertise. That is high praise. But notice what they highlight next. From concept refinement to detailed prototyping.
Right. They appreciated the journey, not just the destination. It wasn't just, here's your file, good luck.
It implies a feedback loop.
It does.
Yeah.
We didn't just design in a vacuum, no pun intended. We worked with them to refine the concept until it was perfect.
In the outcome. Our project was completed on schedule and exceeded expectations.
In the manufacturing world, on schedule is gold. It is everything. If you miss a season launch, if you miss that spring buying rush, you lose millions.
So you can have the best engineering in the world, but if it's late, it's worthless.
And V Technologies delivered on time and better than asked. The testimonial really emphasizes that collaborative approach. It aligns perfectly with the V Technologies philosophy mentioned in the source. V Technologies' extraordinary expertise leads to remarkable results.
It's that connection between the high-level expertise, the simulation, the analysis, and tangible on-the-ground results.
We took a passive design, the flat deck, and turned it into an active component.
I like that distinction, active versus passive.
It's really the core of modern product engineering. A flat deck is passive. It just sits there and covers the blade. A tunnel deck is active. It shapes the air. It manages the clippings. It adds structural rigidity. It contributes to the work. It makes the machine smarter without adding a single microchip.
It really changes how you look at the machines in your garage. You realize that someone, somewhere, spent hours debating the curve of that metal just to make your Saturday afternoon chores go a little more smoothly.
That is the beauty of good product engineering. When it's done right, you don't even notice it. You just notice that the mower works perfectly. You don't think about the fluid dynamics or the vacuum effect. You just think, wow, the lawn looks great today.
But behind that smooth operation is a team of engineers at V Technologies who analyzed every single millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my challenge to you, the listener. Next time you're out in the yard, or even just looking at a household appliance, a vacuum cleaner, a blender, a fan, take a second look. Ask yourself, is this design active or is it passive?
Is it fighting the physics or is it using them?
Is it a flat deck or is it a tunnel?
That's a great question.
And here's a final thought to chew on. We saw how changing a flat surface to a tunnel revolutionized a lawnmower. It solved vibration, clogging, and cut quality all at once.
Hmm.
So, what other flat designs in our lives, in our cars, our homes, even our office equipment, we're just waiting for a tunnel revolution?
What else are we accepting as good enough, just because it's always been done that way?
That's a provocative thought.
There is always room for a better design, if you look at the physics closely enough.
Always. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of precision engineering. It's been a pleasure peeling back the layers of this case study with you.
The pleasure was all mine. It's always great to showcase what our team can do.
This has been The Deep Dive, brought to you by V Technologies. Keep asking questions and keep looking for those better designs. We'll see you next time.